Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Hey, this is Paranormal Horizons, and we're waiting for Jason Ophir to come on, but this is Psychic Medium Sherry, and we're in our... we've had some time off, but we welcome everybody to Paranormal Horizons Radio. Tonight we're going to have a returning guest, a personal friend and a very well-renowned personality in his own right. It's Clyde Lewis. So we're going to bring him on so we can get a full hour of interviewing him.
How's it going? I'm here.
Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. Doing great.
Can you hear
Doing
me?
Great. Yes, I can.
Good. Perfect. So, anyway, we wanted to have you as a return guest. How you been?
I've been all right. Just been very busy. A lot of hard work. I'm kind of really pushing it today, but I just need some rest as I take some time and talk with you guys today, but afterwards I'm just going to take a long deserved rest. I think I'm going to maybe cook a meal and go to bed. I've gone to these festivals, these cons, and that's where I saw you again, and so yeah, it's a lot of work.
It is. And I think Jason's on. Hey, Jason, are you there?
We were having some technical difficulty there for a second. It wasn't allowing me to talk as the host. So I'm calling an old school via cell phone for the first time in a long time. How's it going, Clay?
Going well.
Very cool. Well, I was going to give kind of a quick update, and I wanted to get y'all's opinion. So Kate Brown is mandating vaccines for healthcare workers, and I work in healthcare. So it looks like I'm going to have to get the shot after all. Not too happy about it, but I guess that's the way it is.
Well, I know, and I discussed this with my doctor, it can be challenged, you know. I don't know if you know this, but the state law, apparently they can't do that. And I'm sure there are medical ways of, saying, oh, yes, we can. You know, we can make you lose your job. But here's the thing. If you get any complications from getting it, and you can actually sue your employer for workman's comp. So there are a lot of things that, you know, they shouldn't mandate this because of that reason. But they do, and it's because they have all this power to do what they want to do, and I don't think people are educated on it. But I was told by my doctor, because I said to him, I went to the doctor the other day, and I said, look, if push comes to shove, you know, what am I going to do? I mean, I need to have some sort of, because my doctor doesn't want me to get it. He thinks I'll have a bad reaction to it. And I said to him, I said, what am I supposed to do if they push the, he says, well, you don't have to be pushed into anything. So he told me. So I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, I was aware of that law. I think it was in 1989. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I mean, but you got to go with your gut feeling and make base decisions on what your gut tells me. And my gut tells me not to do it. I have some issues that I am concerned about it affecting. And I was kind of thinking along the same lines, if something happens to me, then the employer should be held liable, because it's not something
right.
I want. There are some exemptions. I don't know how many hoops that I would have to jump through, I'm going to do my best. But ultimately, you know, in the world that we live in, I need a job and I need to pay bills. So I might just have to roll the dice and take it. I will say I was out today. Actually, I was out the last few days, and I was a little bit disturbed because, and I don't want to make this whole conversation about COVID, but it's something I wanted to mention, which was that no one, like virtually no one, is wearing masks at all. Like I was like,
nope.
Really? Because the vaccine, pretty much from what I understand and the articles that I've read, is the vaccinated could get the virus, and this thing exploded when people took their masks off. And I'm not convinced that it's the unvaccinated people circulating it. I think it's the vaccinated people
that are catching it. The thing that they don't tell you, and I've been reading about this, that it is the vaccinated spreading it, because what happens is this is COVID-19 saying, okay, you're going to vaccinate people, I'm going to mutate and find other people to infect. So the high vaccination rate is the reason why we have the variant. And now they're saying, well, if you're not vaccinated, you're the problem. Well, no, the problem is those who are vaccinated. It's not that we're blaming anybody, but it's that, you know, you get the vaccine, and the we know how pathogens work. They want to find another way to inhabit a body. And they'll do it. And that's why we have the Delta variant. And so those who got vaccinated are the reason why people who aren't vaccinated are getting sick.
Yeah, the whole situation, it's hard to know what the fact was, because initially when they came out with the vaccine, they're like, it's only 98% effective. Well, then they changed their story. It will just reduce your symptoms, keep you out of the hospital. And then I was at Dottie's today because I love playing those damn slot machines. There were four or five other people in there. Two of them were elderly, and they were just coughing up a storm. You know, it's like, and not wearing masks. And I was, this is ridiculous. I went to Petco the other day. Literally no one was wearing a mask, and it was busy as hell. So I hightailed it out of there. It's just a crazy situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got to take into account the R-naught factor with this. Did you know that I had a staff member? He got COVID-19, and I didn't, and neither did my other co-staff member. We were near him, and we didn't get it. And so the R-naught factor may have been very low in his COVID-19 thing. So, and it reminds me of the story my sister told. She went to a Christmas party, and it was this family. She got COVID. My brother got COVID. My sister-in-law got COVID. My brother's two boys that he had with his wife got COVID, but the other family members didn't. And they were all within each other. They were all within each other's reach, and they were all near each other, eating from the same, you know, dip, and you know, eating the same food. And the only people that got it were my sister, my brother, and his wife and his two kids. And then the other, his stepchildren, didn't get it.
So, how does that work? How do some people get it, and some people not? I imagine it has to do with the immune system.
The PCR tests don't work. That's why. PCR tests are not real. I'm beginning to believe that PCR tests are not accurate. I believe they're not giving us good information, and I believe that this is why, you know, people who get the vaccine test positive. This is why people have antibodies test positive. You know, it's because they're believing so much in their products, and they're not realizing that their products could be faulty. And that's why, again, you know, people having hesitancy about the vaccine, because that too can be faulty. And it's obvious that it can be.
I've run hundreds of those PCR tests for respiratory viruses, and boy, there's a lot of weight put in those. I mean, this diagnostic, you know, machine. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't know how it works. I don't know. All I know is how to load one of them and deal with the results.
Right. Well, it's just confusing. It's a very confusing thing. In fact, I'm working on a project right now for my show called Into the New Normal, pretty much basically saying that, you know, they first told us it was 2 weeks. Then they told us stay 3 feet apart. Now 6 feet apart. Don't go outside. Don't handshake with people. You'll just be working from home for a short amount of time. Just non-essential businesses that will have to be closed. The bars will be closed, the restaurants, theaters, concerts. You'll be able to get over it. Concerts will be back soon. No singing, no dancing, no intramural sports. You know, it's, you know, non-essential medical services. You need to hold off on those for a while. Non-essential items that you're not supposed to buy. I mean, all these things that they were telling you, it's just a minor inconvenience, they said. It's just not... You know, you're not allowed to carpool. You're not allowed to, you know, talk with people. It's just temporary. It's something, you know, here. I mean, all these things they were telling us. It just, none of that stuff, You know, the grandfather, you know, the grandfather and the grandmother that died on you, or the grandchild that you couldn't visit, or the child you couldn't visit. I mean, this is all, you know, you bring this up and it gets censored. And it's, you know, it's not just conservatives that are being censored. It's just some of the science, you know, the idea of another story, the other side of the story, which is, you know, always silenced. It's just the people who have the opposing opinions that are banned. It's just the opposition that's being banned. I mean, it's the thing. I mean, when are we going to say it's not just this anymore? When are we going to realize that what we're dealing with is endemic? Because that's what it is now. It's endemic. And if it's endemic, then we can't go around shaming people and yelling at people for not getting a vaccine, because it's not going to matter either way. People get flu vaccines every year, and the flu comes back for another performance. COVID-19 is going to be just like that. It's going to come back, and when it comes back, it'll kill a few people, and it'll make people sick. I mean, people need to understand, they never report the recovery rate. They always report the potential for death, and it's there to motivate you to get an experimental vaccine that's not been approved by the FDA. So, I mean, if they want to take away our ability to express our humanity, the total negation of who we are and what we stand for, I mean, all these measures have served as a prohibition of expressing your valid and complex internal reality. It's kind of a suppression of, you know, yourself. You know, it goes down to your very soul. It's not just a political or a health thing. I mean, all of these, you know, supposedly little and supposedly short-lived, you know, we're just doing this here, we're just doing that. They've all transformed us into totalitarian states in this whole country, and there's no end point. And the minute you start, you know, getting confident, they're going to take your confidence away from you, because, you know, they don't want to, you don't want to let go of their power. I mean, it's just the point. I mean, and if you say you have hesitancy, they say, well, you're an anti-vaxxer, or you won't comply because, you know, you're selfish. And I get this double standard too, because when they're talking about, like, some conservative leaders have said that wearing the mask is the equivalent of wearing the star that the Jews wore in World War II. They basically went after that and attacked people who said that. The other day I was reading a story where the headline was talking about how those who won't vaccinate are contributing to the Holocaust. So they're now saying that people who don't vaccinate are basically creating a Holocaust situation. And it's just this stuff. I mean, I don't think people understand just how bad, you know, this is. It has nothing to do with life or death. I mean, you can't be yourself in society anymore. And I don't think society's worth clinging to anymore, because of the way people are. I mean, as much as leaving the stability of, you know, my comfort zone is terrifying, just staying in this and continuing to be in silence and shrink myself with a disingenuous feeling of acceptance, that's a discomfort problem for me. I mean, I don't want to be constantly told that I could die. I mean, even if the government were to cart me away to an internment camp, which is not so far-fetched, right, for being a person who, you know, didn't get the vaccine, I'm certain that my friends and family would watch it happen and say, well, there's nothing we can do about it now. You know, he basically didn't comply. And they can't. They wouldn't have a matter to say in it. They'd be stuck. And this is how we're turning people against other people, because, you know, people are no longer able to recognize humanity, because, you know, it's human to oppose. It's human to question. It's human to, you know, be aware. And they don't want you to be. They want you to just comply. That's all they want.
Well, I think it's getting worse, too. I just read an article. I'm sure you've probably heard of this. A bill that is going to mandate manufacturers to install those devices in all vehicles that, you know, for the alcohol thing, like the breathalyzer type thing that locks you out of your, makes it your car not able to run. And they're trying to get that on all vehicles, all new vehicles. That's like, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if there's like a GPS in there and all sorts of other surveillance.
Yeah, they're pretty much doing it. You know, they want to create a panopticon, and that's the whole point. And this is one way of doing it. And regardless of getting a vaccine or not, it's still part of the panopticon, you know, passport mandate thing. it's just going to change us into a gulag. And, you know, and people say, oh, that's just extreme talk. No, it's not really. I mean, you know, I don't think people recognize what it means to be oppressed. I don't think, you know, people in this country have not lived in countries where this goes on. I have. I lived in South America, and it went like this. But the thing is, when I woke up every day, I went and I did everything that I normally did. I went and got coffee in the morning. I had, you know, pastries. I was able to sit at a kiosk and have breakfast, talk with my friends. If that's what you want to do in life. But, you know, there were times where you were stopped and you were asked if you had papers. You stopped and said you can't go here. You know, they keep your freedom of movement limited. The buses would be shut down and you couldn't get around. There would be riots in the streets and they keep you blocked out. You couldn't leave your home. I mean, these are things that, you know, people can get along, you know, and as long as it doesn't hurt them, they'll comply. As long as they feel it's necessary, they'll comply. But what they don't realize is that little by little, you know, their freedom and their dignity is going away.
Totally agree. What do you think about all this, Sherry?
I was going to say, can you use being against your constitutional rights as an excuse not to go, you know, to go in? Because a lot of these places, even though they relax the mask, you know, they still want people to put their mask on inside the stores. That's a question.
There's nothing about the Constitution that can be, you know, utilized here. In fact, there's something called the harm principle that I wrote about, I think, back in the 1990s, where I was discussing around the time The Stand came out, the Stephen King story. And I was thinking about the Andromeda Strain and The Stand and how they were able to go in and literally jail people if they didn't comply. They would, back in the times of the Spanish flu, they'd arrest you if you shake hands with people. It can get worse. And the only thing is, though, that it goes away eventually. That's the whole gist of it. But at the moment, you know, you have to sound the alarm. You have to say, look, we got to understand that this is not how we do this. And we're just so hysteric. There's so much hysteria going on right now over something that's 99.999 whatever recoverable. You know, you recover from it. The death thing is, you know, they don't tell you that the average age of those who die of COVID is 78 years old. It's not saying that we want 78 and octogenarians to die, but, like, you know, they could die from anything. My father died from a scrape he had on his foot. I mean, he went in he was diabetic. He went in because the heel of his foot had basically wore down to the bone, and it was infected. And he went into, they went and they did surgery on his foot, and he developed C. diff while he was in the hospital. And C. diff eventually turned into pneumonia. Pneumonia turned into death. You know, and to think it all started with just one little cut on the heel that he didn't intend to, and it wound up, you know, eating into the bone and basically laying him up and making him get pneumonia. And see, that's the thing is that, you know, stuff like that you don't think about. You know, I knew a guy died of a toothache. He had a tooth. It was infected. He got sepsis, went right to his brain, and killed him. You know, and so simple things you don't even think about. You think, oh, it's just a toothache, or, oh, it's just this, or, you know. And you don't think about it being a thing that'll kill you. And the same thing with COVID. COVID is, we all say, well, COVID's going to kill you. COVID's going to kill you. Well, yeah, cancer does too. Heart attacks kill. All these things kill, and they're preventable. You don't see anybody, you know, taking a stand against eating Big Macs every day, or you don't take a stand with anybody who, you know, has poor diet or smokes or drinks or does any of these things. But, you know, when it comes to this, it's enough to scare you into getting a vaccine. It's enough to get employers to mandate vaccinations because they don't want lawsuits. You know, that's the whole point. They don't want, but they can be sued if they mandate, and that's the thing they don't get. It's like, okay, you're doing this to protect your ass. Well, here's the thing. You know, if I get sick getting a jab because you want me to, I'm suing you for workman's comp, and I'm also suing you for putting my life in danger at my job. You've done this. Now you're going to have to pay for it. You know, you can't sue the vaccine company, but you certainly can sue the company that forced you to get the vaccine.
That's true.
That's a crazy world we live in.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's my rant for the day. I don't know. I just say that, you know, there's a lot of there are a lot of things that people need to, you know, wise up about, and the idea too is, you know, not only that, but I think people need to understand the difference between what science is and what the science is. The science is basically another word for the technocracy, and science is something that you can discuss. And they don't let you discuss the science. They let you discuss other sciences. But there's the science that's including COVID-19 and climate change. They know more than you do. And people tend to go, okay, whatever, you know. So...
What are you going to take the vaccine, Jason?
What?
You going to take the vaccine?
Jason, did you get that?
I kind of was having trouble hearing you, Sherry. Something about the vaccine. I think she said, are you going
to
get the vaccine?
Yeah, you have to, doesn't he? Don't you have to get it?
I think she was asking you, or are you asking me, Sherry?
I can't.
No,
my doctor said there's something for my health.
Are you going to get the
vaccine? She's asking me. If I have to, yeah. I mean, I understand that the odds of probably it making me sick are really, really slim. But if I have to, yeah, because I have to put food on the table. You really don't have a choice. I do have a choice, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
Well, second shot will make you sick. It's making everybody I know sick.
About
you get the double jab.
That's what I've heard.
Jab.
About half the people I know that have gotten it, half of them they didn't feel anything, and the other half it made them sick. Actually, I just had a friend who's in her 70s. I talked to her the other day. She has COVID. And it's not really bad, but she's also fully vaccinated. So I talked to her, and she was sure glad that she got the vaccination because she felt that had she not, she would be suffering from severe COVID.
Hmm.
Which may be true. I don't know. Who knows what the truth is about the whole thing.
Well, I just know that there was one time where I was feeling a little bad, and they thought I should ask the doctor about what I should do, and the doctor wouldn't see me because they thought, well, you may have COVID. We don't want to see you. And I said, what am I supposed to do if I have COVID? And they said, well, rest, drink fluids, you know, take care of your body, do what you normally do for the flu. And I'm going, okay, so what's the point? If it's like the flu and I take care of myself because I'm sick and I don't do anything that's going to harm me, you know, what is it that I'm worried about? You know, what do I have to worry about? But they make it sound as though you get COVID, you die. And they shouldn't do that because that's misleading. They're telling people they're going to die if they get COVID. Not necessarily. You're not going to necessarily die. You know, it's potentially deadly. You know, just like anything's potentially deadly if you have it. Hell, melanoma is potentially deadly. If they get it early enough, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, this whole world is trying to kill us. The minute we're born, we're dying. That's what I like to say.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's all about fear. That's sad. It really is. It goes right into the politics of the government and everything else, what their agendas are.
Well, it's also pretty bad, too, because they're not giving us any information about building immune systems or prophylaxis or anything, and they don't even talk about iatrogenic artifacts. They don't want to talk about anything that's inconveniently going to keep them from getting this vaccine. They don't want to tell you that they're giving people remdesivir to treat it, or they are giving hydroxychloroquine. They're giving it to patients who need it, and you know they're not telling you that because it's not politically correct to tell you that stuff works to help people who get it to help relieve the symptoms. But now they're saying, no, the vaccine is the only thing that's going to help you relieve the symptoms. That's not true. That's a lie. They're lying. You know, you can take hell Azithromax pack and zinc and a few other things and get rid of it. You know, get the feelings to go away. But in some people, the comorbidities, though, are so bad that they'll end up getting some sort of a complication and they could die from it. And that's the thing is that, you know, I'm in this moment of damned if I do, damned if I don't, because, you know, I haven't gotten it, although I think I probably got it the 1st of January back when it first came out. I worry that because I was in the hospital for 3 days. But and I was having a hard time breathing and I was coughing and everything else. But they said I didn't have the flu, and I said, okay, well, I don't know what's going on with me then. So I've been pretty, you know, I haven't been reckless. I mean, I'm not trying to be reckless or anything, but now I worry that, you know, I've let my guard down a little bit because of the variant, and, you know, the variant's going to come and, you know, kick my ass if I'm not careful. And that's the kind of fear they started. It's like, first we thought we were out of the clear. And here's the thing. I mean, if you know about herd immunity. I mean, we're 75% herd immunity right now. I mean, is that 30% that we need to have vaccinated so important that we're just going to throw everything away? I mean, that means, I mean, we're anywhere between 75 to 85% immune to COVID-19. So now the variant is here and no one's immune to it. We're back to square one. Am I right here or wrong?
That's
yeah.
What I heard.
So that and means that whatever we did in the beginning, vaccine or no, doesn't matter. You're going to get the variant.
And I heard that Israel, which is the most vaccinated country in the world, in like 85 to 90% of hospitalized patients are fully vaccinated. I don't know if that's true or not. I think I read that somewhere.
So what's the point? I mean, we're all going to get it, right? This is like the zombie apocalypse. We're all infected. And then if you get the bite, you're more than likely going to turn into a zombie. So you got to avoid getting the bite, but that's not always easy. So we're all just waiting around until we get bitten, and we wait and see how we're going to react to the bite.
This is pretty scary, actually, the thought, because you're right. If it's not endemic now, it's going to be, and we're all going to get it at some point, or at least the vast majority of the population.
Right, and so if it's endemic, then we're going to have to start acting like it's endemic. I mean, if it's that serious of a disease, then we need to have hospitals devoted to it, and we don't. We have cancer hospitals. We have heart hospitals. We have, hospitals that do transplants. We have all that for life and death type of treatment. We do not have hospitals set aside for COVID. Now, why is that? If it's that serious of a disease, we need hospitals set aside for COVID patients or wards. We need to have a COVID ward.
Yes. Well,
and we don't. And the reason why we don't is because it's all a lie. This is a lie. COVID's real. COVID can kill you. That's true. COVID can do all those things, but chances are it's not going to. Vaccines, yeah, get a vaccine if you want, but it's not doing any good. So why are you getting a vaccine? You know, just it's like saying, hey, drink this milk with a little poison in it, and I promise you, you won't get a disease. Well, you end up getting sick, and you end up feeling crappy, but then you get the disease, and you're like, well, why did I drink that poison? Why did I get it? Doesn't make any sense. None of this makes sense.
It's like going on chemotherapy just in the shot that someday you'll get cancer.
Exactly. It's like, well, you have the potential of getting cancer. So what I want to do is I want to put you on chemotherapy. Well, do I need it? Well, not necessarily, but it's best to err on the side of caution. Oh, so you're going to treat me for chemotherapy for cancer that I'm going to get. Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. Okay. Well, why? Well, because we feel that we need to err on the side of caution. You could die from cancer, you know. It's like, there are women who have had, this breast cancer that runs in their family, and they have their breasts removed before, you know, they even have cancer. And, you know, it's because they're terrified. They're afraid they're going to get it, and so they have their, you know, breasts removed because of it.
That's, yeah.
Angelina Jolie,
I guess all we can do is sit back and all we can do is just sit back and see how it unfolds.
Angelina Jolie did that, by the way. She had a rare cancer that, you know, her mother had, and she was so hysterically scared that she was going to get breast cancer, she had her breast removed. And she didn't have cancer.
Yeah.
See, I'm looking at headlines right now. Delta rages. Children's hospital is filling up. So now Delta is hitting children. Before, they never said that children could get this. And now children are getting it. And meanwhile, Barack Obama has a birthday bash with 600 people showing up. Sturgis, they have thousands of people show up. They call that a super spreader event. Obama does it. It's not a big deal. They do it at Sturgis. It's a super spreader event. How is this not political?
Yeah, it always seems like with everything, the politicians beat by a different drum, you know, do as I say, not as I do situation with the government.
Right. How many Democratic leaders have you heard get COVID-19? How many conservative leaders have you heard getting COVID-19? More conservative leaders than Democratic leaders getting it. Now, why? Because they have good people keeping it quiet? If it's that bad, see, none of this makes sense. It just doesn't. I'm not an anti-COVID person. I believe the COVID's real. I just don't believe that they know what they're dealing with. I don't believe that they do, and so they're just making it up as they go along.
I think that's plainly obvious with the way the story changes every other day. You know,
yep.
They probably don't have a playbook for it, and they're just. It's on the fly, making fly decisions or fly statements.
They're already calling for the deaths of people who don't vaccinate. They're saying, well, people who don't vaccinate should be shot. People who don't vaccinate should not be treated in hospitals. People who don't vaccinate are this and that and this and that. I mean, God, why don't we just, you know, kill people who don't comply? I mean, it's just getting to that point anymore. People are just that stupid. They're losing their humanity. They're losing their humanity in droves. And no one, I mean, if you call it out, they'll say, well, you're selfish. You're horrible. No, I'm just watching humanity just self-destruct because people are so afraid. There's a Twilight Zone episode. I don't know if everybody's seen it. It's called The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. And if you watch that video, if you watch that episode, you see how just simple things get people to turn on each other. And they create scapegoats, they create others, and they point the finger at these people, and eventually they end up getting killed or hunted down. And that's where we're headed if we don't stop this nonsense. That's the worst case scenario. I mean, best case scenario is everybody complies, gets things done, and we don't die 4 years from now, you know? I mean, immunodeficiencies being detected in the vaccine take about 4.5 years to be detected. If there's any infertility in women, it'll happen probably within the next 6 to 8 months, it'll be reported. What's going on here in another way of looking at it is that they want so many people vaccinated so they can at least point to a control group. If there's an iatrogenic artifact, if it's an iatrogenic exercise, then they'll have a control group and watch them to see how they're adapting. If there are people that don't get this disorder, whatever it may come from it, then they'll have someone to look at and say, oh, okay, they didn't, it'll basically out you. You know, you don't get this certain type of thing and you're outed. You know? So, I don't know. It's kind of a weird way of looking at it, but things, you know, this is how it's done. This is what totalitarianism is.
Kind of makes me want to sell everything, go buy a van, and live out in the woods somewhere, the way things are going.
A lot of people are, you know. A lot of people are just getting up and going. You know, I've been so, lately I've been just wanting to veg in front of the TV and watch cartoons. That's all I've been doing. I write this stuff every day. I talk about this stuff every day. And it's really exhausting me mentally. I'm like today, for example, I got up. I wanted to sleep all day. I didn't. I had to go run some errands. I had to go do some things, go do some shopping. I'm in the house right now. I want to cook for my wife, but I just don't know if I'm motivated to do it. I'm tired. I'm just, you know, wondering, you know, what to do next. I'm halfway tempted just to take the week off and just, you know, say, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just gonna wait. But I can't do that. I mean, I have an obligation to, you know, talk to my audience. I have an obligation to do a show. And I'm gonna keep doing it for as long as I can. But, you know, lately it's just been exhausting mentally to do anything.
I hear you there.
This is what's getting bad, too, is that you can't even fly. They're getting to the point where you can't even fly without a vaccine card.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is what it is. It's like vaccine cards and your papers, please, and why are you against this? Because we don't need these things. We don't need to identify as vaccinated or not. We don't need to do that. It's because it's what they want, not because of what we need. We don't need this type of attitude. We just need to get everybody as healthy as possible with any way they can, giving them advice on how to beef up immune systems and take care of oneself. And if they don't want to get the vaccine, this is what you're going to have to do. You have to prepare for this. So, I don't know. It's just one-sided, and the side that is the most animate and angry and mean are the ones that I think are the bad guys. I just do. I just think that, you know, their empathy is gone. Their shaming is there. Their cancel culture is horrible. And I always ask this question to people. I say, when in history have the good guys ever been the ones to censor people? They never have been. They were always the bad guys, and they are the bad guys. These guys that are pushing their agendas, pushing their vaccines, pushing their health mandates, they're the bad guys. And we're going to find that out pretty damn soon. They are the bad guys. I just think that what we're seeing here is pure evil. It's not a choice. When you're given a choice, it's not a real choice. That's evil, in my opinion. It's just evil.
Well, none of this is going to matter much longer because all of us unvaccinated people are going to die anyways. So I should probably just put it out of my mind and make plans for my, you know, people that I care about and my will and all that.
I don't think you're going to die from COVID.
Well, the news sure makes it sound like it.
I mean, like I said, the average age of people that have died from COVID is 78. That's the median age. Mostly elderly, mostly comorbidities. I mean, usually the beginning, the age that people usually die of COVID is between 60 and older. And, I mean, I'm 57, so I'm just, you know, right there on the brink of it. And I'm a three-time cancer survivor, and I'm overweight. So I'm pretty much vulnerable.
If you, you know, when the whole thing started, it was all about the elderly becoming sick and dying. But if you read the news now, it's now the 30s and 40-year-olds, the stories of, you know, he didn't get vaccinated. I wish I did. And he's dying, and
you know,
now we see all those.
Right? You know that's propaganda,
what's that?
Right? That's propaganda.
Yeah.
When we were kids, we had propaganda similar. It was anti-drug propaganda. And they'd always tell us, you know, just smoke that one puff of marijuana and you'll end up jumping out of a building thinking you're Jesus Christ. Or the babysitter, there was a story about this woman and this man, and they were having drinks. They got together for a date and had drinks, and they got the babysitter to come over. And the babysitter was just a kind of a hippie-like girl, but they trusted her. And so the hippie-like girl was watching the baby. And then they get a phone call from the babysitter saying, hey, guys, I decided to make you all dinner. So when you come home, there'll be dinner to be had. And the woman says to the man, wow, she made dinner. That's amazing. So when they come home, they say, so what did you make us for dinner? He says, oh, I popped a turkey in the oven. And says, well, we didn't have a turkey in the fridge. The turkey wasn't the turkey. The turkey was the baby. You know, it's like that kind of stuff is what we got when we were kids, you know, scaring us into saying that, you know, you're so high out of your mind, you're on pot, that you mistake a baby for a turkey and vice versa.
Yeah, and now we know that's not true now, at least.
Right. But all these bots are saying, oh, his last words to his wife were, I wish I got the vaccine. I wish, it's like a bad rock song where, you know, he went in the race car and he crashed his car, but when he was being wheeled to the ambulance, he said, tell Laura I love her. Tell Laura I need her. Tell Laura not to cry. My love for her won't die. It's the same stuff. It's like, are we kidding ourselves here? You know, his last words to his wife were, make sure everybody gets the vaccine. I'm now off to die. everyone else cannot die like me. What a joke. It's not even real. I don't buy it. I know that if I had a ventilator in my mouth, I wouldn't be saying things like, oh, by the way, I wish I'd have taken the vaccine. I'd be saying, I can't breathe. Holy God, I'm dying. I don't think I'd be taking the time to send a text to my wife saying, I should have gotten the vaccine in it. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, come on. What was his last words when he was dying of COVID? It wasn't anything to do with I didn't get the vaccine, you know. Such nonsense.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know that that would be my last words either.
No. No, and it's like when they were saying things like, you know, when somebody's dying in the hospital of COVID, they're thinking in their minds, who was it that I met that killed me today? No one. No one thinks that when they're dying. No one's having that kind of animosity. It's all made up.
Scary times.
Yeah.
I think, Sherry, I think I'm going to come move in with you to get out of this city.
You got to get out of here.
Yeah. Clean out a room for me. It's with all the violence and COVID out where I'm at, you know.
Speaking
I need
of violence,
to save myself.
You guys see that there were a group of Christian people having a ceremony on Saturday at the waterfront, and Antifa came in and destroyed all their stuff?
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
they came
really?
In and, yeah, they had, like, microphones and they had amps and speakers, and they just came and destroyed all their stuff. Just came in and got out and yelled at people and fired pepper spray after them. It was really ugly.
I don't keep up with a lot. Like, I don't even know what Antifa is, Proud Boys. Like, I hear about it, but it's so out of my radar. Like, I don't even know what that is.
That's good.
Yeah. Ignore it. But violence is never good. They, you know, nobody should be doing that. That's ridiculous.
Once again, who are the bad guys? The ones that are shooting at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, people say, well, you know, people aren't getting the vaccine or the bad guys. Well, they're not the ones that are ridiculing you or hating you or turning on you. The ones that are turning on people, they're the ones that you need to be aware of and afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Off a side subject, I've been noticing I work in, down by I-5. What is that? Would that be... not Northeast Portland, I don't know, but down kind of on the opposite side of the river on the east side. And the homelessness is, I've never seen anything like it. You know, I have a new job down there, so I haven't been down there in forever. And the people are building these semi-permanent structures on the sidewalk. It's the craziest thing. Maybe that's a normal thing down there, but the homelessness in Portland and everything, the trash. Portland has turned into a dump. It used to be beautiful.
Yeah. Yep, it's not the same city anymore. It has turned into a dump. It's really sad but true.
Have you seen any of that, Sherry, what kind of Portland's turned into, or do you not get out there much?
I've seen it. We were passing through going to the Asian market in Southeast Portland, and yes, it's getting really, really bad, terrible. In Hillsboro, they're getting, you know, people are getting moved out of fields and they're making room in like an empty parking lot that used to be a car dealership. We saw that today. So it's really sad. I mean, I don't know. They, you know, Portland's sweeping all these people and the communities that are homeless. I don't know what they're going to do. I have no idea. It's just really sad.
Yeah, we had them camped out in front of our house. There's an area on Powell where they were all camped out there. They got them out of there because we have drug halfway houses across the street. And they said that they can't have encampments there because people are using drugs and all these people are, like, leaving their homes and going out and doing meth with these people. And we had fires, explosions because they were cooking meth in their tents, and it was just crazy. It's just this type of stuff. You know, they just let everybody get away with this stuff.
cooking meth in tents.
Why, what do you think about the homeless situation? Do you find that there's a, you know, do you think there's a, you know, an option for these people? You know, especially if there's really a, in,
yeah,
in
the
option, you know,
is that there's plenty of unused space in some of the buildings around town, these unoccupied buildings, unused space. There are prisons that are not even being used that can be used to house people. They don't have to be prisons. They can house people. They can move them all into there, or they can provide, you know, land that's away from others that they want. I mean, out where we are, there's plenty of land just south of us, and no one takes advantage of it. In fact, I just saw two tents set up there the other day, and I'm thinking it's about damn time so they pay attention where they need to go there. But on the freeways, that's not safe. And I think that many times you can, there were actually two documentaries that were produced. One was, is Seattle going to hell? And the other one is Portland going to hell? And each one was saying that they have proposed many things to government, anything from building small homes that are inexpensive, that would, you know, help people, you know, at least keep them, you know, from getting rained on, keep them warm to a certain degree. That's all been rejected. It could put people to work. You put the homeless to work to make their own homes. Many of the people that are involved with the homeless are basically drug addicts, or they choose to be homeless. I mean, there's very few. In fact, I had a guy I worked with one time in radio, and he made a statement, and I didn't agree with it until I realized something about homeless people. He said, homeless people, and this is what he said on the air, and he got away with it. He said, homeless people are assholes, he said. And I was like, whoa, that's a little harsh to say. And I said, I don't necessarily buy that. But he said, here's my point. And I listened to him, and I realized this, the more I, you know, saw how the homeless operate. But, you know, there are some people that, of course, are homeless because of, you know, job or something went wrong or whatever. But most of the time, if that happens to you, you usually have a friend or you have a loved one or someone that will take you in. And they'll take you in because they love and care about you. And you know, you're hot on your luck and somebody decides to take pity on you and help you. It happens a lot because they say, oh, my God, a horrible thing just happened to a good person. We're going to help this good person out. And that's how human behavior is. But if you're an asshole, you do drugs, you don't care about people, you harm people, you do all those horrible things, that's why you're homeless, because nobody wants you. Nobody wants you to come in and do drugs in their home. Nobody wants you to come in and leave trash around. Nobody wants you to do any of that stuff. And it's like, you know, a lot of it has to do with, I mean, everybody that was homeless that was near our home, yelling and screaming at 3 o'clock in the morning, fighting, we heard gunshots, everything going on. You know, that's the kind of stuff you want in your house? That's the stuff you want in your neighborhood? No, it's because these people don't have the decency to, you know, look, I'd be willing to say, look, they're great neighbors, they move in, they do no problem. But no, they move in, they leave their trash. The rats were everywhere. We had rats infested all in front of our house.
Wow.
They're cooking meth. They're using little propane tanks to cook their meth. They're distributing it. There was even a guy who, when kids would walk by the homeless camp, he'd show his penis to them. This is the type of people, and they would defecate right there in front of you. This is the type of people that are moving in next door. And so if they want us to have empathy for them, they got to act like that they are in need of that empathy, and they don't. And that's the problem I have, is I used to have empathy for them because I used to go downtown dressed as Santa Claus and hand out socks and mittens to people. I'm not going to do that anymore because it just seems to me that these people, I mean, they just take advantage of this, and then they don't care about you. They don't care about others. I've heard stories about, you know, an old man walked up to a guy and says, don't camp here. He was stabbed 15 times and died. This is the type of people you're dealing with. And that's just, you know, it's just a menace.
Wow.
Yeah, I've given homeless people stuff before, like money, and then I kind of just decided it's hard to know who the people are that are, like, legitimately trying and good people versus the one that just wants meth and stuff like that. So I was like, maybe stop doing that. I mean, I am always the first to say doing random acts of kindness to people. Like, I secretively paid for somebody's dinner the other night. But it's just, you just don't know. And I totally kind of agree with what you're saying is they're just, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what I don't know what to say. I think you're right, though.
Case by case basis. I mean, look, if you see someone and your heart tells you, you know, put a hand out to them, great. But you know what? They tell you not to feed the homeless. They tell you not to give them food. And the reason why is because they figure out where you are and they come and they knock on your door and they say, do you have any food? Or they come and knock on your door and they say, can I use your plug for my cell phone or whatever? And that's something you don't want them to do.
So what about those people? What about those people that you see families? I wonder if is that really true. You know, there's these people that use kids. You know, and they look like families out there. I feel bad for them.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd hate to see a family in that position. I mean, I haven't yet, but
yeah.
I'd hate to see a family in that position.
I actually years ago was homeless for a while and. But I was out in the, I was living out in the woods bathing in the river. I loved it. That was some of the greatest times. I was out there with a bunch of homeless Vietnam vets, and then they would get drinking, and then they'd start having flashbacks. And but they were great people. You know, they were people that you could trust. But that was an interesting life experience I had years ago.
Well, that was, you know, that was kind of like, you know, you found, you know, happiness in what you were doing, living that way. I mean, I've been homeless too. I lived in my car for like a couple of days, but then someone said, hey, you shouldn't be living in your car. I'll give you a place to stay. I said, thank you. I appreciate that. But, you know, I mean, I do things, you know, around the house to help out in order to, you know, earn my keep. See, that's the thing is that, you know, If you're a good person and you associate with people, you have a bad thing happen to you, there's always somebody there that'll help you. Even if it's just, you know, I had a friend of mine, I had a guy when I had cancer. And it's funny, you find out who your true friends are when you have cancer. But he showed up one day and he said, you know, I've got a frying pan, I've got some cheese, and I got eggs. I'm going to make you the best omelet you've ever eaten. And he did. It was a great omelet. And ever since then, we've had breakfast together, you know, talk about stuff. It's been kind of a tradition with us. COVID-19 has kind of kept us from going out and doing it more than we should, but it was nice. And it just reminded me of, you know, just a little act of kindness. You know, you didn't even have to be overbearing with it or maudlin or anything, but just a little random act of kindness sometimes makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, you don't have to give somebody $1,000, but, you know, an omelet. Hey, just little things.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was an omelet. It was the best omelet I ever ate because it was made with love and care, and I needed someone to talk to. That's basically what it was.
Okay, guys, I'm going to change the subject. Clyde and I were at last week. We're in the Squash Fest, and I just want to ask Clyde a question. Have you ever encountered Bigfoot before?
Yeah, I did. I saw Bigfoot at East Eddy Ranch. I was actually sitting in the area where they have the kitchenette, and we were talking, drinking coffee and talking about, you know, packing and going, and I looked over through the little corridor there where they have the washing area, and I saw standing there a big muscular guy eating apples, and, you know, when you see some guy eating apples, you just don't, you know, pay no mind to it. But I thought maybe, you know, you could motion him to come in and come sit and talk with people. He didn't pay attention to me. And then he looked over at me and I noticed that his face didn't look human. And that's when I realized I was looking at something that resembled a man, but wasn't a man. And that's, you know, I said in my mind, Bigfoot. And then I said that out loud, I said Bigfoot, and everybody ran after it. And it was only like a short moment, and, you know, it's not some dramatic thing. It was just, you know, you don't you don't say to yourself, I'm here to see a Bigfoot, especially when you're there to see UFOs. And that's exactly what it was about. It was just interesting the way that all went down. It looked like a wrestler, you know, eating apples. And then when I saw his face, it looked like it was flattened out, you know, it looked like somebody hit it with a shovel when you push your face up against the window and how it looks, and or put a nylon stocking over your face. And that's what it looked like. It was kind of a dark face with the blonde curly hair or brown, golden brown hair, kind of like what Robert Plant, you know, when he looked like when he was younger. And muscles, you know, big, muscular, hairy, muscular dude. It was pretty amazing.
So it was like fur, like we see in the grainy videos of Sasquatch,
well,
hair all over kind of deal.
Well, I wasn't really staring at him from the corner, from the outside of my eye. I mean, it just looked like a person standing there with, you know, a canned muscular body. But then after I saw him move and I was going to motion him to come in, I noticed that his body was hairy and then his face had looked different. So it was kind of, and in fact, I thought it was a juvenile Bigfoot when I first saw him because I didn't realize, you know, he was that tall. And I remember looking at the trees and they'd grown a lot. So he was reaching up for apples that were at least 6-7 feet tall. And he could have been even taller than that as far as I know, but he wasn't that big. I mean, he looked like a wrestler. He had the build of a wrestler, actually. Kind of a, you know, if he was kind of stocky and wide, that's what I saw. It was kind of a wide, stocky look. But that's about it. I mean, I thought it was a man standing there, actually. And then when I looked at it clearer, I realized it wasn't. I realized it was something else. It was kind of I didn't smell anything. I didn't hear anything. I didn't, none of that. I just saw it and it ran and I was like, wow. And everybody else, you know, ran out too because somebody else said they saw something strange and I don't know if they saw a Bigfoot, but they said they saw something strange walking through the camp. And I called it out and we ran after it, but it went too far. It leapt like a gazelle. It was like leaping like 2 or 3 feet in its gait. And it was because we watched how the balls of its feet went into the mud, and then another foot went in about another 2 feet away. So he was jumping, he was leaping. Kind of weird.
Wow, that'd be awesome to see. Well, it looks like we're just about out of time. Where can people listen to you now?
Well, I'm on locally on 860 AM, The Answer, and we're on from 9 until midnight. They have to record it. They record everything after the live 9 o'clock. But we're on aftermath.fm from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday, and that's our affiliate online. But if you want to hear the shows that we have them in archive form. We have also study groups of many people, a lot of podcasts, too. They're on aftermath.media, and you have to subscribe to that. It's $10 a month for the basic. But some people like to sign up for a year, so now we have a $79 yearly deal that's been pushed through August. And we have a $139 family deal, which is you and three other people can sign up as well and listen to some of the shows and some of the archive stuff. It's really awesome. It's just, and we have tons of stuff from videos to, you know, videos of movies and informative stuff, books, e-books. We have study groups for, like, people like Bill Cooper, Mabe Russell, Tracy Twyman. A lot of great conspiracy writers. And it's a huge library, and we're very proud of it.
Well, very cool, Clyde. Hey, I know you're a super, super busy guy, and it's always great to get you on the show, and I really appreciate you taking the time to coming on our little podcast once again and sharing your thoughts.
Well, I thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you, Clyde. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Take care.
All right, Sherry. One of my favorite guests of all time. The legendary Clyde Lewis.
He's awesome. So next week, I'm going to be back on tour. And so, everything's doing good and just getting some guests and just moving along. That's pretty much about it. Trying to work out, trying to get things kind of situated with my home. But other than that, everything's going pretty good. How about you, Jason? You doing okay?
Doing all right. At least I think I'm doing okay at my new job in pathology, which is very interesting. I mean, I've seen my fair share of tissues and tumors and all that. But I got to see last week a human brain being dissected, which was interesting and kind of creepy at the same time, knowing that, you know, that organ, if that's even considered an organ, contained memories of one's life. But it's a very interesting job. I get to see a lot of cool stuff. So everything's going well on my end. And, yeah, not a whole lot to report.
All right. Well, hopefully maybe next week. Like I said, I'm going to be very late, so we'll figure it out. Either going to be next week or the week after. We'll keep everybody in touch. Go ahead and get a hold of us on our Facebook page, Paranormal Horizons, and give us a like and a heads up. And in the meantime, if anybody want to get a hold of me for Chinese medicine, I'm a medical medium and a medical Qigong practitioner. And a psychic and a medium. They can get a hold of me at Psychic Medium Sherry, www.psychicmediumsherry@cheri.weebly.com, or they can get a hold of me on my Facebook page and get a hold of me at Psychic Medium Sherry under the contact form and get a hold of me from there. So in the meantime, thank you guys. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Clyde Lewis, for joining us once again. And until either next week or the week after, we wish everybody safe journeys and a lot of peace.
Absolutely. Have a safe week, everyone. And since we are experiencing some technical difficulty on my part, I do not have control of the studio. So, Sherry, if you could hit the end button, and we can officially close. I hope everybody has a fantastic week, and we'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast, everyone. Good night, everyone.
Hey, take care, everybody. Peace.